Ham Radio 2.0 audio podcast rip. Thank you for downloading and listening to this podcast. So basically what I do is I take all the audio clips out of my videos and upload them to Spreaker, and then from there they're spread out to iTunes and SoundCloud and now Amazon Audible as well. But I want to welcome you and thank you for joining the audio section of this series on Ham Radio. I hope you enjoy it, and I would appreciate you leaving us a comment or a review on whatever podcast service you're listening from. Thank you, and 73. Hope you enjoy it. All right, we're just going to hop right into it here. Hey, good afternoon to everybody. It is 12:02 in Texas. Appreciate everyone being in the chat today. I see John out there, Amateur Radio on the Air. Thanks for being here, bud. See all the YouTube channel members, KD8DXN, N1UFO, Andy Cowie, K4HEF, AC3IK, W0RHP. Thanks for being here in the chat, and thanks for your support of the channel. So we're going to talk about the Yaesu FT, I almost said FTDX10, the FT710 AESS radio today. And I appreciate John taking time out of his busy schedule to join us today. So we're going to bring him on in here in just a second. But in case you're wondering, that's what it looks like right there. And I plugged it up about an hour ago. I've been tinkering around with it. I left the plastic on the screen. I haven't pulled that off yet. I'm going to let the winner of the radio do that when I ship it to him. I would like to try to do a POTA with this radio sometime later this week. Maybe this week. I don't know. I don't want to delay in sending this out to Peter, the winner of this radio, but at the same time, I'd like to get a little bit of time with it. It's a lot smaller than what I expected it to be, which I knew it was going to be small, but when I pulled it out of the box, I'm like, well, that's also heavier than I expected it to be. So, but it's cool. It's like a mini version of the FTDX10, so we're going to talk all about it today. You guys feel free to put questions in the chat. If you type the word question in your comment, it will highlight it for me. I'll be able to see it a little bit easier. There is no Frank today. He's got this pesky thing called a job. And yeah, he's at work today. So y'all let me know how my audio is. It looks like it might be a tad low. So tell me in the chat how the audio is. Peter said he wants to re-give it to me. Good try, Joe. Good try, buddy. That's probably something I would do. All right, let's bring John on here and unmute that right there. What's up, man? How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm hanging in there. Just trying to get everything. I got this radio. I was out of town last weekend, and the radio arrived while I was out of town. So I was just trying to get it all put together and up and running for the live stream.
Gotcha. Sorry, I had to turn my radio down. I got my radio blaring in the background too. So
yeah. Audio is a little low. Okay, let me turn mine up a bit right there. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, that should be a little bit better. Audio is now perfect. Okay, fine to me. Okay, everybody's got an opinion. We're hams. We all have an opinion about audio. So that's good. It's good. So what's going on, man? What's been the general consensus of this radio that's released about a week ago? Well, I think the West Coast had it before those stores out in the East Coast had it, according to what I was told by RNL, but I don't know how all that works.
It was kind of a split. We sent them out kind of like a mass sending out, and some stores, of course, just got it quicker than others just because of shipping and all that kind of jazz like that on there. So far, it's been an amazing rig. People have enjoyed it. People have loved it. You know, there's little quirks and things that we're finding out that, as I unfortunately say, you know what, everybody wants to go ahead and like grab the pitchforks and the torches and storm the castle. But it's like, okay, guys, got to settle down. You know, like there's been some talk about the FT8 interface. You know, people are like, it's not working. No, it's working. We got to take a moment here. And here's what we got to do. But personally, yes, I actually used mine last week very, very heavily. Ticket mobile, I put it through the ringers. Now that I was able to officially say, you know, that kind of thing like that on there.
Right.
I did a lot of mobile operation on Thursday and Friday of last week from Northwest Wisconsin, and I was pulling in Germany, I was pulling in Italy, I was pulling in Lithuania. I did a actual, believe it or not, a POTA, just not too far actually from my house. I didn't realize there was one. So I did a POTA on the air with that, and now I just got to figure out how to upload the logs, but it was absolutely amazing, because what I did is I purposely hampered the environment that it was operating in. So I did an ATAS 120 with a magnet mount antenna, so not even a full base mount, you know, like on the car, but just a good heavy duty magnet mount, and 60 watts is all I ran, nothing more than that. And with the ATAS and stuff like that, just pulling in places all over the place. For the POTA, I did a bunch of US stuff. I got Dominican Republic. I think if I remember correctly, I maybe got Italy on it one too. I got another park on it. So yeah, it's actually been pretty amazing, and just loving it.
Good. Good. Yeah, I saw your pictures on Facebook saying you're going to do POTAs, and then you stopped along the way with a porta potty somewhere along the trip. I was like, you got to do it, I guess, right?
Well, and you know, the worst part about that was this: I was going to do POTA on Thursday of last week, and I'm like, oh, okay, no, I'll get it on Friday. And then Friday's schedule got too busy. And I'll get it on Friday. And then I'm doing it on Saturday thinking I'm the first one with the 710 and some ham out of California. There you go, California, ruin it for us.
That's
all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Ham goes ahead and he's like, I activated it. Like, and he was like, this post was like 16 hours before. And I'm like, argh!
Oh,
so it was
gosh.
Like, okay, you know, never done POTA, never did this. And it was like, oh, man, whatever. But it was what it was.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, okay. Well, so far, you know, like I said, I've only had it out of the box about an hour. I'll go ahead and bring it on the screen here. But, you know, it looks like a mini FTDX10 to me. You know, if we go into the function here, there's all your menus in there like that.
Yep.
You will notice that my noise floor is terrible. Well, there's somebody talking right now. My noise floor is about an S5. So it definitely makes a difference there. But it comes up as, and it's red. The waterfall is red, and the signals are blue. And I didn't change that. That's how it came out of the box. So I mean, there's ways to change that on most radios. I assume that's true over here too. But
yep, and it's all kind of in that menu system. So if you are familiar with the 10, if you are familiar somewhat with the 101, you're going to be able to just go in the menu system on there and then change it out of there to your preference and liking.
Good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I just thought that I'll just leave it alone because I don't particularly like the red. There's a couple of guys I POTA with that do red, and I'm like, it looks to me like a hell of a lot of RFI is in there just because it's red. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense, but you know. So okay. So some of the main questions, and I think we emailed about this, John, is that people are asking what's the difference because the price point between this and the 10 are very close.
Correct.
So people are asking what's the difference between this and the 10.
And it's all going to come down to 100% the circuitry and design of the circuitry is really what it is. So you gotta understand, you know, one of the things that we did and we have a tradition with the Yaesu is to be able to take and say, okay, listen, we have this high quality radio. And then when people want to be able to experience that high quality, but they don't want to pay the high quality price. Fine, understandable. But what we want to do is we want to be able to allow it to kind of trickle down, if you say, for a better sake of term, and to let it go down and saying, hey, how can people did it? So that's why if you look at the 101 and you look at the 10 is sort of a mini 101. It doesn't have, of course, the VC tune. So as you get smaller, as you get a lower price point, there are features and stuff that has to be taken away. What we did with the 710 is the concept is simply this, is that people have wanted a SDR radio, a high quality SDR radio on top of it, but they wanted it portable. They wanted it to be entry level. They wanted it to basically be able to say, you know what, I'm just an amateur who maybe rag chews on HF, or maybe I go out and I play on field day, or I'm doing a go kit, or I'm doing a POTA, or whatever the case may be. Yeah, some people might bring their 10 out, but for them, some people may say, whoa, that's too much of a radio to bring out in the field, too many problems, that kind of thing like that. You know, they'll say that with obviously the 101 with the size of it. So that's kind of where this radio kind of came in and kind of wanted to fit into play. Now, one thing other about the FT710 is that when we got smaller, we don't have as much room. And if you actually take and compare it and put it on top of the 991, you're going to find out that it literally is just about the same size as the 991, with the exception of once you add on that speaker onto there.
Right.
So people like the design of the 101, like the design of the 10, really like the design of the 10. And they said, hey, I want this on there. So this is your go-to mobile radio. This is the one to have in a car with you if you're going to go out and about and do those kind of things. And that's kind of where this radio fit into it. Now, once again, as I said, you get things smaller. What you do is you don't have as much room. So what happened with the 710 is the design comes into using dithering and basically a twin A to D converter on this. So if you actually go and take a look at the radio, what you're going to notice is that with this A and D converter that's in there, you're coming into basically the so if you take a look at the block diagram, and I don't have it up on here and stuff, but take a look at the block diagram on there, you'll see it's going to still come through the bandpass filter, but then it comes into a divider, and that splits it off into two analog to digital converters, which then put it into the FPGA. Now then the FPGA is also your SDR receiver. And then what's going to do is that's going to take that part of that signal out and then dither it back into it. And this is where some people just aren't familiar or maybe understanding the term dithering. And what you're doing is basically you're taking your cleaned up refined signal and then you're injecting that signal back in to the FPGA for being cleaned up even more. And TVs have been doing this. Audio's been doing this on high-end audio stuff for actually a while and stuff. If you actually are a geek and you want to really kind of read up about dithering, you'll see that just do like Google dithering or Google Scholar dithering is a better way to look at it. And you'll see the studies that have been done, and they show on an average, you're gaining a 4 dB increase once you've dithered a cleaned up signal. So that's how we're doing this there. Then what's happening is it's coming into a very highly advanced and superior DSP circuitry. And then what we did is we added on one more feature on the user end. And that is where we come into the AESS technology, that acoustic enhancement speaker system.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And somebody made a good point a minute ago, and they said if you add a speaker to the FTDX10, that's going to increase the price difference between the two radios as well, which is very true, because this radio did come with the speaker. It was in the box, and so you don't have to worry about buying that separately like you do on does the 101D come with the speaker? I don't even know.
So the 101D did not. The 101MP does, because the speaker is part of that power supply because of the volt system that's in there. It's a 50 volt system on the MP. That's why you get the 200 watts out of there. But yes, you do bring up a good point. The speaker comes with it because the speaker is the key to the AESS system. So that acoustic enhancement system, sound system, or speaker system, I should say, is, once again, as kind of I try to describe it to people that kind of help understand it, is think of it as your surround sound home speaker system. You can balance out the left audio, the right audio, that gives you that highs and that lows. That's what the AESS is doing with the radio, which is taking and saying, you know what, I'm going to work on the low and the middle range, and then the other speaker is going to kind of really work sort of on that mid-range, upper mid-range, and then high. And what you're doing with that AESS, you have a value of 0 to 100, and when you're tuning from 0 to 100, you can actually hear how the sound changes. Now the nice part about that is that this is being adjusted to your hearing for this radio to pull out the signals. It's not being applied to mechanical filters. And personally for me, audio is a big important thing for me. I hear better with audio. Now this comes probably from the public safety days with all the big dispatch councils and stuff and how we could balance all that audio out. But when we're talking about it here, I mean, I will sit and listen. Yeah, I could pull in that signal, but if it's too tinny for me, it's too bassy, those kind of things, then that really kind of adds more difficult for me to hear the signal. But that's why that speaker came with it, is to easily balance that out.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. Okay. So a couple questions coming in. I think we answered that one. Try to go in order here, guys. If I don't get your question, feel free to type it again. Will it do FT8 with just the USB cable?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Okay. So what it is that, and that's a good, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because this is okay. this is a source of contention right now.
You kind of touched on that a minute ago, so I thought, okay, well, there's something there. So okay.
Yep. So what it is that obviously we design our radios to kind of work with everything. We have the preset functionality in this radio, so that's kind of a cool part in there. So what you got to do is for your preset, you got to do some settings. That's you always got to set things up, right?
Sure.
But then it's going to be set up for that preset. So the minute you hit that preset, it's automatically going to go to it. Now, here's the thing that kind of, as I call the pitchfork and the torch kind of thing there. Yeah. The WSJ, like I was getting wrong, WSJT-X software, FT8 software.
Yes.
Right now, this is a new radio. They haven't had a chance to make a quote unquote preset. So, you know, you're in FT8 software, you can select what radio on there.
Yeah.
What we found out was that people were trying to apply the FTDX10 settings to it. Mm-hmm. And what was happening was they were getting an error back on it. And so right away, oh, the radio's broken. The radio's no. So here's what you want to do. You want to go and select FTDX 1200.
Okay.
And then you can do the settings with there under the FTDX 1200. And then that is getting that response because, anytime you have the preset on the radios, anytime you have the preset in the FT8 software, that's looking for certain CAT commands and everything like that on there. What's happening is that some of those CAT commands are going and showing error on the software when they're selecting the 10 because there's no 710.
Okay.
So what's happening is people are seeing the error comes back, the radio isn't transmitting, those kind of things like that on there. Mm-hmm. Now, in the manual, page 57, that's why I said I wanted to hit it there. Page 57 of the manual tells you the settings you need to put in the radio. So if you're going to do FT8 with this, please read the manual. It's one page. It's got pictures, you know, but read the manual on page 57. It's going to tell you what to do for that. But in your FT8 software, select FTDX 1200. The dealers have been telling about that. Some dealers have actually helped test us on with that on there. So we do appreciate that on there because that's what was happening. People are saying it's there and there, and people are calling in and saying it's not working. And then it's like, no, it is. Just here's what you need to do.
WSJTX always takes a little bit of time. It's usually pretty quick. But when a new radio is released, it's not in there automatically, guys. That's not how software works. So it's good to know that the FTDX 1200 setting works. So okay, good. That clears that up then. I may have to try that one myself. Shirley's asking CWQSK relay or electronic switching, how do you adjust the key or speed? The key or speed's right in here, I think.
Yeah, the key or speed should be in there. Let me just take a look at my radio here. But the key or speed is right in the main menu system on there. So I'll actually take a look at mine here. But as you hit it, you go into the menu
right
function
there.
System. Yep. Yeah. So you got the
CDIP.
Yep.
It's right. Yeah, it's right there. It's third row down. CW speed is there. CW pitch is right next to it. So it's all just right there.
Yep. And we did. And once again, we kind of did copy that same mentality and functionality of the 101 and the 10 for that menu system on there.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. So Shirley's also asking power consumption and receive and transmit. So I've got this plugged up to mine. You guys can't see it right now. And I don't want to move my camera because I'll never get back. I've got it plugged up to my Astron 50-amp power supply right now. But I've also got an MFJ watt meter plugged up with the LED backlight, which takes very, very little power. So it's sitting here on receive right now at 1.7 amps. So less than 2 amps on receive. And if we transmit this, you might hear this in the thing here. Let me move off frequency. Somebody was there a minute ago. Okay, so KC5HWB testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now I'm on sideband, and as I talk, it's anywhere from like 3 to 9 amps, peaking at 9 amps when I'm talking. If I really yell into the microphone like that, it'll peak up at like 9 amps, so something like that. So 10-amp power supply would almost handle it. Probably not for FT8, so don't go trying that. But on sideband, it's gonna
Yeah, and that's what I noticed too with mine. Like I said, I was doing 60 watts on mine with the ATAS, and I did a couple things when I used the internal tuner. So the internal tuner obviously is doing a hard key down. I had those little power works that I had in my battery line there. And yeah, max I was drawing at that point was about 9.8 amps. Now, full 100 watt transmit is going to run you 21 amps is what we have it spec'd out on there.
Okay.
And receive with no signal present is about 1.8. If you get a signal in there and you start applying filters and stuff like that, then sometimes it'll jump up to about maybe 2-ish, 2.2 max. Okay. On there. So what I did, so just for people wondering, kind of give you a good idea, I went out and I got an 18 amp hour lithium ion battery, or lithium, what was it, lithium iron polymer, that's what it was. It's basically a fish finding battery is what I got.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah,
Cabela's was there and I was just going to look around, but that day I bought something. And so with that, I found that worked very well. I was out trying to do it for about 2-3 hours and I had no loss in power, no issues whatsoever.
Good. Okay, perfect. All right, so a lot of people are asking about the DVI out. Chris Digital Analog Ham from the UK, he was asking about live streaming. Would it be okay to live stream into an HDMI capture card without the fear of it damaging the radio? Someone else is asking about, where did that go? Plugging into an HDMI monitor. Heard bad things about the 101 and 10 going from DVI out, which this radio has, to an HDMI. So do you have any info on that?
Yeah, so... actually, this is going to kind of come into that same thing as with the 101 and the 10. Okay. So there's, I think, and someone I'm sure will correct me, but I believe there is technically five different quote unquote protocol versions of HDMI out there right now. The majority of them that are out there in play right now usually do some sort of active sync or something like that. And like I've told people before, that's why you can hook your PlayStation up to your HDMI on your TV, pick up your PlayStation or Xbox or whatever remote, hit the button on the remote to turn it on, turns on there, and then it turns on your TV and selects your video input on there, right? Mm-hmm. The issue is that DVI or HDMI sends voltage back down on right. some of the protocols into the devices because that's how it syncs it out, right? Mm-hmm. That's the problem, that you have voltage coming down there. Now, once again, we go back to the DVI thing. Once again, pitchforks and torches. The reason we use DVI is for two purposes. One, we're not doing audio. We're not doing control. Mm-hmm. We're not right. doing anything. It's easier to integrate a DVI port into an video interface only. And secondly, it is pretty much a easy global kind of standard. Yes, there are TVs that don't have it, okay? Mm-hmm. But usually most computer monitors do. If mm-hmm. you are using an adapter, we tell people, make sure that that adapter can actually filter out or protect anything that's coming back down the actual video or the HDMI port. Okay. So, and actually I have that for my computer. I've had computers that, believe it or not, have been blown out because I decided, hey, I'm going to hook it to a monitor because I got a monitor instead of a TV instead of a monitor, hook up the HDMI and it blows out my video card on there.
Mm. Yeah,
so, that is the reason why we use DVI. No, it's not about licensing. No, it's not about we're being cheap and stuff like that. It's just DVI works for better integration, for better resolution and output. Because you got to remember, on the 101, on the 10, and even on this one, you are pulling that signal on that DVI out directly from the FPG. Once it comes in an FPG, everything goes directly to that. So integration to be a video output, DVI works the best.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. Good. Okay. Kevin says, hams don't read manuals, going back to that minute ago, which is very true. What a shock.
Hang on. I'm dizzy here.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Richard's asking, can the built-in tuner match something greater than 3-to-1?
Not really. It's pretty standard. You know what I'll say is, like this, for example, my 710 and 10 and 5000 and everything that I have here, the 1 and 10 I usually run the most is a Comet 250B vertical, and it tunes it out nicely. I always say, if you are going to be running some homebrew or something like that, you don't want to mess with the internal tuner. You want an external tuner, something that you can adjust the capacitance and the resistance and everything like that in there, the inductance, everything you need to do in there. We recommend that right away because that's the best thing to do for building your own. But no, it's about a 3-to-1, and I can't remember the ohms on it. About a 16.7 to 150 ohm a balanced on there.
Okay.
A slightly different. I'm trying to, I think it's 25 to 100 ohm variance on 6 meters, but 10, it's 16.7 to, you guys are really making me think today. I think it's 150 ohms.
Okay. Okay. All right. Most people aren't going to be looking at ohms when they're out in the field tuning anyway. They just want to know what the mismatch is. So
yeah, and most people that are doing, you know, the antennas out there are using something that is quasi commercial grade on there. Yeah. So it's going to tune it out good for you.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Okay. Okay. Good. So, Alexander, the last question I see right now, and I want to get into. So we're going to go through some menus. I want to actually show the radio here in the video. So Alexander's asking about firmware updates. I found the firmware updates on the FTDX10 to be pretty simple. Just load the SD card on the side and go. Well, the SD card's on the side over here. Let me switch that view for you guys.
Yep, and that's an important thing to remember.
You can't see it right now, but it's right there. It's right there. The SD card slot is right there on the left-hand side of the screen. And you just, it's a full-size SD card, not a micro. And you just put that in there and you have to format it first, or
anytime you buy it, you just put it in there. It will automatically ask to format it because it will see that it's not "quote unquote" the format, and put it in there. It's through. It will pop up on there. You just tap the screen, and it will format it, and life is good.
Yeah, the FTDX10 that I ended up buying, Roger from RNL, he shortly after it came out, he said, "Hey, I got one back. It was returned for a defect that." That the guy was, he was wrong, but there was no defect. He's like, do you want it? And that's the one he sent me. Turns out the guy was putting, if I understood him correctly, he was formatting it in Windows, putting it in the radio and saying, oh, it doesn't work. And then so Roger shipped him another one. Same thing happened. Roger's like, all right, man, what are you doing? And then they figured out, oh, yeah, it works fine. So there wasn't anything wrong with the one I got at all. And then, he sent it to me. He's like, do you want to do a video? Just send it back to me. I said, sure. And after a week, I was like, I'm not sending this back. Send me a bill.
And then I always tell people, you know, you don't need to go out and buy like a 250. It's not even going to take that big of a card. You just need a 32 gigabyte card. It's going to be fine on there. When, yes, you're doing the firmware, go to our Yaesu website, go under, make sure, because here's the other thing people are already asking and stuff like that. So I could just use the FT10 firmware in it. No, you can't. You got to wait. Oh, there is no 710 firmware out there. So people are like, oh, well, I just saw a news notice on there. No, it is not. We released another one on the FTDX10 to do some improvements and everything like that, but there is no firmware out there for the 710 yet because there's nothing for it right now.
It's brand new.
If one is to come out, you just download it onto an SD card, you put it into the radio, like the 10, like the 101, will auto sense it. But I'm going to tell you something. Once again, I know I'm asking a lot of everybody, read the manual, read the PDF with it, because people have complained about a loop on there. That's because they're not doing the process correctly.
Yes.
So that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing.
Okay. Makes sense. Okay, good. All right. Well, let's go through some of the menus here, because I want to kind of get a better look at the radio, kind of blow it up for you guys there. Oh, you know what? I got to add, hold on 1 second, because I don't have John's audio added into that field. So let me fix that real quick. Somebody's asking, what is the biggest size SD card it'll take?
I believe it is 32 gigs.
Okay,
I believe it's 32. You'll be safe at 32 or less. And like I said, it's not going to take up most memory. I was actually recording audio to play back to, like, because my dad was like, hey, you got a radio and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, I know a guy. But you know, on there it's about 32 gig. And let me tell you something here too. This is a couple numbers. The maximum recording file time for one file, 16 hours. And that's only going to give you a 3.5 gigabyte file.
Really?
Yeah. So you can see how compressed it is, because it's basic audio. It's not high def audio. It's not, you know, basically stereo audio, that kind of thing. It's basic audio on there. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, good. All right. Why can I not find this? All right. Well, let's just go over here. I'm gonna waste too much time with that. All right. So this is the menu, and one thing I noticed pretty much up front is that there's not a second fast tuning knob behind the main tuning knob. So that's missing, or but there it's I wouldn't say it's missing. It's just different. Underneath here, where you guys can't see right now because it's dark, there's a fast or a fine and a fast button. Where I, because I was looking for the lock button, because that's where the lock button is. Yep. So you don't hit the VFO and it throws you off frequency. I use that lock button all the time because that VFO knob is the biggest object on the front of the radio.
Yep.
So once I get tuned into a frequency, I'm on CQ Poter, or maybe I'm chasing someone. I don't want to be typing on my keyboard and hit the radio and knock myself off frequency. So I use that lock button all the time. So I find that fine and fast on there, and that's where that is. So you can use the same knob to tune quickly or to tune finely right there. This right here is display reject. I think that's it.
DSPA reset.
DSP reset is
and
there.
I'll show you when we go through some of the tuning here, Jason, how that thing is going to be valuable, and people are going to want to know how to use that button.
Good. Okay. All right. Well, why don't you just take us through whatever you want to then?
Okay. So let's talk about the lock thing, because you brought that up, and that's one of the biggest things. So the lock duplicates with the power button, which is in the upper left corner there. Alrighty. Now, one of the things about
it is
when you hit lock, it's going to only lock two dials for you. Mm-hmm. It's going to lock your main tuning knob, mm-hmm. and then it's also going to lock your step memory channel, which is a smaller knob to the lower left of it.
Gotcha.
Now, here's why that's good. You want to, because here's the thing. There's three ways to tune. Well, okay, let's go four technically. Four ways to tune frequencies. One, you could tap the display and enter your mm-hmm. frequency on there. Not a big deal, right? Mm-hmm. The other one is obviously the big dial where you mm-hmm. could spin. You could do fine or you can do fast tuning. But then also two is the small dial knob to your lower left there. That actually will go and allow you to do kind of a quick step based on what you program in the menu system.
Yeah. It's going in 5 kilohertz increments at, and that's just default. I haven't changed anything. Yeah,
correct. That's default.
So, yeah. So you can change. Oh yeah. You push it in. It's that's your notch filter, but that's your shift and width.
Correct.
And his notch is in there. Okay, good.
Correct. And you get into the band pass on there. And that's why I said do that, because if you push lock, what's going to happen mm-hmm. is your main tuning knob and your little minor tuning knob is not going to go ahead and be impacted on it. But what's going to end up happening in this case is you'll still have that functionality of adjusting your bandpass filters with that small knob.
Gotcha. Okay. Good. 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 Okay. Okay. So that's those two buttons down there, and this is your volume knob right here. I guess you guys can probably hear that. So this is RF gain and squelch right there. This is your function knob, which is the same location it is on the 10. And you just press that knob in, then you turn it, and you can go to all kinds of stuff. Okay, so there is an AESS menu in here.
Correct.
And that's set at 50%. Well, there's two of them. There's one next to it, AESS-CF, I think that says.
Yep.
So tell us what those do.
So we'll start out with the AESS-CF. So that is the cutoff frequency.
Okay.
So this comes into it there. So it, that is going to be a selectable of only 700 hertz or 1,000 hertz. Okay. And what I have found is that is going to play a big impact if you got a bassy signal coming in or a deep, heavy, I would almost go ahead and venture to say like a heavily processed microphone processor equalizer sound coming in. You're probably going to want to run that maybe a little bit higher. You're probably going to want to run that on 1,000 hertz. If you're running on something that's maybe not as bassy, a little more tinier, a little more higher pitched, I found out running that also at 700 hertz is going to do a lot better. Also, when you have the volume turned up louder, that's mm-hmm. when you're also going to notice that significant, hey, maybe I need to run the cutoff at 1,000 hertz rather than 700 hertz. Now, when we go to the AESS percentage on there, once again, we can go from 0 to 100%. And if you actually have someone on there, I don't know if you can pull in someone on there.
There's somebody talking right now.
Okay, so go ahead and push that function knob, and the box around it's going to go ahead and turn white real quick.
Yes.
And then now go ahead and turn it. Turn all the way to 0.
Okay.
Now slowly turn it up to 100, and you're going to hear how his audio changes. I'm going to shut up here for a moment.
Interest in those locations In addition to those in Central America should continue to monitor the progress of this system.
Talk about the hurricane.
Yep, and now when you have 100% turned up, you have that full AESS balance between both speakers. When you turn it down to zero, you're really only using the one speaker. You're not balancing out that highs and lows. So what you're doing is that, think of it, that stream coming in, think of AESS as being right to that, for argument's sake, the main speaker. But as you increase up to 100%, you're splitting off that, basically the lows and the mid-range, going and then feeding it out to that other speaker and then pulling it and kind of balancing it out between the both of them.
Gotcha.
And then you can even hear that on there. Now, here's the best part about this. I've heard a lot of people say, well, God, it sounds crappy to me at 100, but I like 75. And I've heard other people say, well, I like 30 instead of 75. I don't think that's right. Da, da, da. No, that's what you hear.
That's what you hear. Yeah. Everybody's ears are different.
Yeah. And if 35 works for you, boy, great. You know what I mean? It's like, hey,
it,
good for
it,
you, man. Run it there.
That's why it's got so many different settings on it. So everybody hears differently. Yeah. So good.
And okay. And I tell people to play with that. So that's going to be the biggest thing. Now, this is just my opinion on how to use it, just because running it mobile and stuff like that on there. Mm-hmm. What you want to do is set your AESS to what is the most comfortable audio setting for you. Because once we start getting in there and applying the contour, the notch, the shift, the width and everything like that, you're going to find out it's going to adjust the AESS, apply and adjust your bandpass filter, go back and adjust maybe that AESS again. And what you're going to do is after a while, it's kind of hard, of course, in contesting and stuff like that, maybe, or quick kind of things in there. But if you're really trying to pull in something, that station, you're the hunter, not the huntee, and you're trying to listen to that one, you're going to find adjusting AESS, bandpass filter, and then go back and maybe adjust that AES and maybe even go ahead and do a contour a little more again or the notch. You're going to find out amazingly that signal is just going to pop all of a sudden on there for you.
Nice. David wants to know if AESS will work with headphones plugged in. I assume not, but
it uses the same port on there. But the thing with AESS is you got to remember it's a balancing of the audio on there, so you're not really going to hear. It's not all going to come in through there. Remember, it's AESS is a balancing of the two speakers, the external one that comes with it, and then the internal one on there. So you're not going to get that same effect.
Are there any plans to add that feature to the 10 if you have an external speaker?
Not really, because there's no additional speaker port. So there's not like a line out and a speaker out and everything like that. There's only one port in there. So with that being said, that's why it's like, yeah, you could probably plug your headphones in there. And maybe if you did, maybe one of these things, but it's not going to give you, in essence, that same effect. It's going to sound, it's not going to work right.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense. Okay, cool. All right. Oops, gosh. That was not good. Okay, so what else in the menu do you want to show us?
The next thing is going to, if you go ahead and you hit the actual, I got to look at it myself, the step memory channel knob or the DSP knob. DSP knob, the lower left one.
Yeah.
So this is where we kind of come into it, where we're going to go ahead and walk through a little bit on there, because it's a little interesting on how you adjust your shift, your contour, your notch, your width, all that kind of stuff on there. So we're going to start off on the right-hand side, and we're going to go to the contour. So there's a couple of different steps, as you notice, with there. So minute you hit it and you select contour, if you push that button in, it's grayed out, and that value is going to flash. But the minute you go ahead, so now push in on the DSP button again, and there now you're going to notice it's flashing again, but now it's yellow. Mm-hmm. So now it is engaged. So now what you can do is when it's white, I should say, not yellow, but white on that numbers, now you're going to adjust your contour on there how you want to do it.
Pushing it until it highlights again if the menu goes off. Okay.
So now what will happen is that once you've set it kind of where you're at, you can push that button one more time again. And when you push that button one more time again, what's going to happen is that you are actually going to notice that, hey, you selected it and now it is white, but not flashing. And that means your value is fixed in. But if you want to turn off the contour, you can do one or two things. You can go ahead and hit contour again, and then it will immediately drop off, but you'll notice it's gray and flashing. The reason it is because if someone accidentally turns off contour, if you want to, and it's flashing, guess what you can do? You can instantly turn it again and it will turn it back on.
Gotcha.
So once you have your contour set, go ahead and do that. Once again, contour, I'm going to tell you is like, first of all these contour, notch, width, shift, these settings are like candy bars, folks. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves, there's multiple candy bar settings and settings in the radio, multiple candy bars. Everybody loves their certain one and they like it a certain way. Right. I tend to run my contour personally for my hearing. Mm-hmm. I like to run it towards the low end. That works for me. You know, that maybe 200-400 hertz range. Once again, that's me. But the reason I want to stress that is because we can get in there. Let's change the contour. Let's change that notch. Let's change that width. Let's change that shift. So just get in there and just kind of make changes across all of them, just to do some kind of things on there, just to get some values in there. And then we're going to show you that one button, like I said, the DSP reset, how important that is.
Yeah. Okay.
So now you have all that in there. You have all those different values in there. Everything's turned on. Everything's yellow on there. And you're like, oh man, you know what? I'm going a different frequency. I'm going to go with something else, whatever, whatever. Here's what I'm going to do. I got to clean it. I want to go back to zero. Push and hold that DSP reset button.
Okay. I adjusted the width as well. Okay. So let me let that go. So push and hold it.
No, not that button, but the actual DSP reset button, which is like
that
way
down there. Yeah.
Yep, push and hold it. Boom, you're back to normal.
Yeah.
It resets everything.
Gotcha. So it clears it out. So if you really FUBAR something, you're like, I don't remember what I did, you just can reset it.
Correct. And that is only going to impact you on your, once again, contour, notch, shift, and width.
Which is everything in this menu.
Correct. Now, the reason that is brought up is because, once again, remember this, what you're affecting here with contour, notch, width, and shift is what you're controlling coming into the FPGA, okay, the SDR. When you're adjusting AES, when you're adjusting that cutoff frequency, when you go into the menu system and adjust, because you have treble and octaves and all that fun stuff, you can adjust for receiving. Mm-hmm. That is all post SDR.
Okay. So it depends on where the audio line is coming in, whether it's hitting the FPGA first or somewhere else.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Now,
makes sense.
A couple other things that we have on there. So we have the narrow filter, which is a quick narrow filter. So that's going to be that kind of button to the upper right, right next to the RF gain. Yep. The narrow there, you push that. That's instantly going to do a quick narrow filter application to you. And then the DNR. So the DNR is going to go ahead and be in there. And that is going to be that. Now, to set the DNR, one of the things that we have to remember about the DNR is that it is a situation where when you're talking about different radios, especially in this kind of scenario, it's not a range. Okay.
Right.
And that's the biggest thing to do on there. Thing is to remember, there's 15 different noise reduction algorithms in there.
Okay.
So when you have the DNR, you push it to turn it on. But if you want to change the DNR, you have to push and hold the DNR button and then use the function knob right next to it. Select which DNR profile or algorithm you want to select. Now, I will tell people this. Once again, there's another thing that we have found out about the users. A lot of people said, man, 1, 2, 3 are great. Man, once you get 4 or 5, it starts to get really watery. Remember, the DNR, digital noise reduction, is being applied to what your signal is coming in there. So if you're doing DNR, you may want to shut off, once again, hit that quick DSP reset on there and shut off those filters to go ahead and make sure it's not compensating that.
Gotcha. There we go. And it starts at 1.
Yep. Then you can go all the way up to 15.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. You went into some pretty good depth about the DNR, how it wasn't incremental when I had you on for the FTDX10, I believe.
Yep.
So that's very good info to have. So
yep.
Okay, good.
Yep. Now, a couple other neat features on there: the noise blanker. That's a quick toggle on and off. That's great. Using that in mobile. Once again, I purposely did some things with my mobile. I did a crappy mobile install to run it mobile, believe it or not. That's what I did.
Yeah.
So my truck, it actually can hand up a pretty high wattage on the, believe it or not, cigarette lighter plug, because there's only one cigarette lighter plug. So uh-huh. I actually plugged the 10 into the cigarette lighter plug. And,
really?
And I did. And I did that because guess what? That's going to give me noisy environment. That's going to give me bad signal, magnum on antenna, everything on there. That noise blanker, absolutely amazing on there. I mean, I was having some every once in a while. You could hear stuff like that. Hit that noise blanker just took it right out of there
really?
For you.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. That's good to know.
Of course, you got clarifier. You got split. If you're going to be running split on there along the top, you have the zero in. So if you're doing CW, that zero in key there for you is really good. It's active on when you select the CW mode. And of course, right next to it is the mode button operation.
There it is. Okay. Good.
Yep. So now here's another quick thing that people kind of didn't like too much about the 10, but is really nice about it. Your settings, for the most part, will stay with you with the band that you choose.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I say this is because this was a lifesaver for me for POTA. Okay.
Okay.
So if you go into the menu system, so hit the function button. And when you hit that function button, you'll see in the bottom, well, second row from the bottom, left-hand side, message.
Yes.
Push that or select it.
Yep.
Oh, you got to have the SD card. Sorry.
I don't have an SD card in there.
So if you have an SD card in there, folks, guess what? You have 5 memory positions to record audio on there.
Okay.
Now, let me turn mine up here. Let me turn mine. You can hear it. Okay. But here, for an example, I'm not going out over the air, but this is just an example here.
CQ POTA, CQ POTA, N9 UPC, CQ POTA, November 9, Uniform Papa Charlie.
I don't know. Did you guys hear that okay?
I heard it. Yeah. It's
okay.
kind of quiet, but I heard it.
Yeah, because it's kind of behind my computer there. But but basically what I did was is that I was able to take the microphone right from there, record that in there, and then when in the menu system, you see where it says BK in for break in, all you do then is turn BK in on, and then when you pull up that message, you hit that button, and then it will play that recorded message for you. So no external devices needed, no nothing, and it's automatically recorded in there for you. Now, the other thing too is that when you go into that menu system, this time I'll do a little bit more, but I'll move my microphone here to you. But I was actually talking to my dad, and he was like on the radio, he's like, hey, how's it sound and this, I wonder how it is. So let me turn it here, and let me select this one, and I'm gonna-
You know, it's not printing from that one either.
Well, then, yeah, that does not make sense there. I wonder if it just needs a good hard unplug and then go from there.
Maybe.
So that was just a quick conversation that him and I had. We were recording. But as you hear, it's nice because it records both sides of that conversation for you. And being that it has a long file that you can record because you select when it starts and stops and everything like that, that's a great way if you wanted to do a record, wanted to do a conversation. If you're doing a net control, you can do all those kind of things like that on there. But as you heard, it was recording his off the air, and then it was also recording my transmit audio on there. So then I can hear how I'm actually coming into the radio and how I'm going to go out over the air. So that's all built in right there from the radio with an SD card put in there.
Gotcha. I have that in my, I use mine to record my CQ when I'm on POTA, just like what you played a minute ago.
Yep.
And I find that very useful. Although I always have to reteach myself how to get to that menu and record because I usually say CQ POTA, and then I'll say the park name and number. So I have to re-record it every time, and I always forget how to do it.
Yeah, and on this one, it's even easier because you just go into message, and when you hit the message, it's going to pop up. It's going to show you that 1 through 5. You push memory, and then it will start recording, and then you push the number 1, push the PTT on your mic, record it. When you're done, release, and then it's in memory slot, whatever you chose.
You don't have to touch stop on the screen to stop recording?
No, because once you're done, once you release that microphone,
once you
it
release
stops.
The mic, that's good.
Yep.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Some radios you gotta and I noticed myself that if I'm not quick enough, there's like this little dead air behind my CQ, and I'm like, okay, I gotta redo that. So that's good. If you're doing it all through the microphone PTT button, that's really good.
Yep. And then that's the nice part. You just have to tap that on the screen there, and then you're good to go. And that's what I did. It was just easier to sit there and do it. Now, if you do not want to do something externally because you're gonna play on the screen. You can also use the FH2, which, God, we've used FH2 like on the 5000 or 3000, whatever. You can plug that into the remote jack on there. You can record it into there, or even go one step further. If you have the M1 reference microphone, you can even record it into the microphone itself. So multiple ways internally and externally.
Good. Okay. Perfect. John wants to know, when recording, will it cut out long silent pauses?
No, because it's okay. A true pull. So it's sitting there recording. We didn't have no audio cutoff or anything on there because we don't know what you're recording.
Right. Yeah. Oh, look, the bots are out. Hide user on the channel. There we go. Goodbye. So, hey, it's good to see the overseas bots up at noon in the USA. So that's good. Good.
They're working overtime. Guys.
Yeah, they must be. Yeah. So it's always something. It's always something. All right, cool. Anything else in the menu?
You know, not really too much in the menu there. You're going to really want to explore it out and stuff. Well, the biggest thing I can tell people and say, hey, experiment with it. Be familiar with it. Know where your power is, obviously, on there.
Yeah.
Some of the
yeah.
things in there are going to be set it and forget it. So one thing I will adjust a lot to is the level. Because obviously different bands, different noise level, different floors. I like to keep my noise level floor very low. I usually will run it so I just see enough of the peak waves on there. And that works for me.
Where do you do that?
So in the upper left there's that level.
The level, okay.
Yep,
okay.
So that's going to go ahead and raise what you're seeing on the noise floor on there for your 3DSS display.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there we go. Okay.
Now, nice. I'm going to tell people a couple different things. This is and I do this because I'm not a big contester. I've told you that all that time, numerous times. I'll say that. Yeah, I had fun on Polda, but I'm the MCOM mobile HF for those purposes kind of things. If you want to learn about shift, width, contour, notch, and everything like that, I tell people, make sure, first of all, on the long, the bottom, you want it to say center. You and white, you want the 3DSS to be blue. You want multi to be blue. And then what you want is expand, span, and speed all white. Now, here's why.
Okay.
This is going to bring up your oscilloscope on the left-hand side.
Yep.
And then this is also going to bring in your AF-FFT. Now, the nice part about it is that if you are not sure on how this works and how this impacts and everything, when you're affecting and using your filters and operation, you are going to go ahead and see how that impacts on your FFT. So, you know, I've had people all the time, well, what does a notch really do to me? Like, I'll have new people come up to me and I'm like, well, what we're doing is we're dragging that frequency, or we're pushing it down so low we can't see it. Well, how do I know? The reason I tell people to look up on the screen is if you're in a crowded band situation and you got a guy talking like only 100 KC up or something like that, that just popped out of nowhere on you, guess what? Turn on that notch and watch. But watch, if you turn on that, for example, notch, watch what happens to that FFT. It's going to show you what you're notching out on that signal.
Okay.
And then what's going to happen is people are going to be able to see. Plus also, too, is you have the gray kind of showing the right above it with the width and the notch and everything. That's going to really help the people do that. Now, another thing that I tell people, the reason I say bring up the oscilloscope is because this is a very, very excellent radio for audio adjustments for you. You can really tune in if you can't see the signal that well, or maybe it is kind of right buried in the mud and you want to kind of tune in exactly on that. Watch how that oscilloscope plays. And you can even sometimes adjust that RF gain to turn down your RF gain. And then you can get it right at that brink where you'll see them talking on the oscilloscope. But when they're not talking, it's not really active. Then you know you're really pulling that signal out of the mud. Because the vision goes so far, and then the rest kind of kicks in.
There's somebody talking on this frequency right now, so that makes it easy to see.
Yep.
Let's watch this right here.
See that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just pops on you there.
Yeah, it does. It pops for sure.
And then what you do is if you turn down, if you go in there and you receive gain and you turn that down, like take it down to like maybe negative 12, maybe 13, what you're going to do is you're going to see that noise floor kind of drop down on that display. And then you'll start to see those peaks on that signal.
Receive gain.
Or level, I'm sorry, level. Take your level down to about, let's see here.
It's at -5 now.
Yep, so take it down to like -10 or even 12.
Okay.
Now see how those signals there? Those are all peak signals coming in. And I'm actually going to tune up there to kind of see also too on my own here.
All right. Yeah, Don, so when the speaker is on the let me turn this bit right here. I said this earlier, but maybe you weren't in there. So the SD card slot is right here. And that's one reason I have the speaker over here on the right-hand side. But the real reason I have the speaker on the right-hand side is because the plug for the speaker is back here. And I didn't undo the twist tie on the cord coming out of the speaker. So, I mean, the speaker will sit over here, but yeah, it'll cover up the spot for the SD card, yes. But, I mean, it's fully inserted, so I don't know why you'd ever want to... And the speaker's just sitting there. It's not attached or anything. So it's not really mounted to the radio. It's just sitting on the desk next to the radio.
Yep, and you can attach it to the radio. There are actually two screw terminals that actually will screw into... comes in the bag there. They will screw in either to the left side or the right side. Okay. And then on the speaker, there are... on each side, there's two like rubberized grommets that you can kind of pull out. And
I
then
saw
the,
that.
Yeah, and they'll, and that will click right onto there. But as you see, once again, I'm on 14.3. Now, granted, here I'm in good old Scania. And I have, with my vertical, I actually have a drop down to -15, and I can actually see that, let's see, below me now. Mind you, I have my span. I kind of do a more narrow span, so I have it on a 10K span. Uh-huh. But I could easily tell that there is, well, here, let me go up to 20K. At the 20K display setting, at -4K, I got another signal, and at plus about 6K, I got another signal just on the display alone.
Nice. Very cool. Okay. Yeah, I see the one below it. I see the one down here. But, yeah. Okay, good. Well, that's neat. I haven't messed around much with the O-scope and the AF FFT much on my FTDX10. Is the FFT on the FTDX10?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. And there's also display settings on that too. So if you actually touch kind of where it says AF-FFT, you'll see you have 0, 10, and 20 dB of padding you can actually add to that.
Right. Gotcha.
The oscilloscope, in case people ask, it only is a 10 millisecond division on there. There's no way to adjust that on there.
Okay. Okay. Good.
Yep. Now, another thing too, if you're looking at it on display and you want to get rid of it, go ahead and hit expand. That's going to go ahead and take that. It kind of opens up your screen a little bit more so you can get more of that panoramic view on there. I will say to people, go ahead and do that and enjoy it from that if you want to do kind of that full display on there. A lot of people do appreciate that and enjoy that sometimes.
Definitely. Yeah, I kind of like that better myself because basically all that does is it takes away these menus here. And if you already have your attenuator and your IPO set, there's no really reason to look at that.
So. Correct. And, you know, most people that I know, myself included, if you're going to run your RF staging on there for your IPO setting, you know, some people go, you know, I find amp one is really good unless I got a lot of QRM coming in. And then sometimes I'll kick it up to amp two. But 9 times out of 10, you're setting and forgetting those.
Right. Yeah. I actually like IPO on mine. I like to turn the amp completely off. Granted, I'll turn the amp on if I'm really chasing a signal that's down there in the weeds, of course. But if I'm hunting POTA and I'm just looking for those really strong signals, so I'll just turn it off. And hey, if he's not at least a 5x2 or something, then I just keep going. So, but when I'm calling CQ, I might turn it on, something like that. But I like that it's so easy to change right there. I mean, it's just a touchscreen button.
Yep.
So that's good.
And remember, if you plug in a mouse, you don't even have to touch the screen. A lot of that, all that stuff, really, for the most part, that you can do is built into that radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good. Okay. Yeah, Don's saying 10 meters is open, and I knew that. There's the band.
The band's up there. Yep. Or once again, there you can actually just kind of tap it in on the screen there too. However you want to do it.
Right.
I actually swing up to 10 myself there.
I know that I was getting ham alerts from people working FT8 yesterday, but I didn't listen to the sideband portion. So,
Oh yeah, I do see a few people there.
Yeah. Whew. That is wide, one wide banded SOB on 10 meters. So, okay. Yeah.
Good. But oh, there it is. I see something there. Yeah.
That's like,
is that
digital or something?
Yeah, that's what I was looking at too. Now see, I'll tell you this. This is mm-hmm. my thing here, and I'll on my other screen here, uh-huh. I actually have the SU LAN 10 set up.
Oh, okay.
And the SU LAN 10 does work with this. So yeah, so right now I'm looking at, let's see, I'm on 28190. Let me scoot on up here because I did see something earlier. And you can, once again, that's where that level is going to come into play. You can really kind of tune in the things in and out on there and mm-hmm. kind of see where you're going and mm-hmm. Trying to find something. There's, yeah, 10 is, looks like it's open, at least on Wisconsin
mm-hmm.
side here.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple other things, though, too, is if you notice, mm-hmm. Jason, so a lot of, like I said, some of the things move from band to band. So yeah. For an example, if you go ahead and just hit the, you just have to turn on the tuner, for an example. So just hit the tune button. You're not going to go ahead and actually tune anything on there, but you hit that and then you can turn it off and you can flip between the different bands and it's going to go ahead and stay on there if you want to. And So I guess go into the menu system too. You know, a lot of the functions that you have set, for example, if you have the break in turned on or off, that was mm-hmm. one of the things that got me, believe it or not, mm-hmm. when I did the POTA. Was just that I was hopping and I started out on, I think I started out on 20 and then I went to 17 and then 15 and then even went up to 10 for a bit. Mm-hmm. But I forgot to turn it on for 17 and I'm hitting the button and I'm hearing people, you know, I tuned in and I'm hearing people. I'm like hitting the button and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Hang on. Wait a minute. I got to turn break in on because that is a individual band setting.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it took me a minute to figure out that you needed that to be on to actually transmit the recorded message that you had recorded. One of the first times I took my 10 on POTA, but yeah. So, well, that's a really good CW signal right there. I don't have the band plan on 10 memorized, so I know that 28.216 is in the sideband portion, but or in the No, it's 3 to 5, isn't it? It's 3 to 5, that's right.
Yep.
28.3 to 28.5. So that is a CW portion. See, I don't have 10 memorized. It's just I use it so seldom. So Don wants to know about transverter support. Does it have a transverter port on it? I didn't even look.
No, it does not.
It doesn't have. Okay.
Nope, it doesn't.
Okay.
So actually if you hear it, this is coming through my TV monitor on my SU LAN 10 on 28.4.
28.4?
Yep. Okay. But that's actually coming through the SU LAN 10, which is the device interface into here. So I have this, like I said, that's the nice thing about this is that, like with the 10, I can just take my laptop here, go sit outside,
yeah,
stay in the house, whatever. And I've got full control and it's coming out. Like I said, I got this connected into the computer monitor. So
I'm not hearing that signal in Texas.
He just ended. He was just just talking there for a minute. So
okay.
Oh, there's someone answering him. I think back there.
Oh, there I hear him.
Yep.
He's kind of like a. He's kind of down in the noise. Not too bad. Yeah. Good. 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 So.
But yeah, that's. That's kind of it. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of it is going to be little operations, little things that people like, they don't like. Like I said, if you go into the menu system, there is a whole slew of like under the receive DSP on there. You can set narrowband rejection, narrowband width, APF width. I mean, lots of different things on there that I think people aren't aware of to be able to do that. So it's really going to be one of those things where I'm going to tell people you just got to sit and play with it,
yeah,
and then find what works for you.
Yeah, yeah. Can you enter a frequency directly like the 991? Yeah, you can. you can tap this right here and do that.
Yep. So tap on the back right kind of side of it, the far right frequency. So after the second decimal. There you go.
Oh, there you go. Yep. Okay, there you go. Boom, boom, boom. Type what you want to in there.
Yeah. Now, here's cool. Here's the even little weirder part of it. When you're doing it with the on there, if you tap megahertz, it'll allow you to quickly spin megahertz. You kind of tap your kilohertz, allows you to do that.
Right.
The second out, you can go ahead and tap that there. That will let you frequency. But if you're using the SU-LAN 10, then you can actually use the scroll wheel for the mouse.
Oh, okay. Good. 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 That's kind of neat. Okay. Cool. Okay, guys. Well, we don't want to go too long today, and we've taken up an hour of everyone's time. And people are dropping off because it's lunchtime for some people. Oh,
yep.
There's the bots again. Gosh, you got to hide yours on this channel. Okay. Guess what? Y'all aren't... that's not showing on screen anyway. So, John, thank you for your time today. This is definitely a neat little radio. I do like the fact that it's a little bit smaller form factor than the 10. I'm not planning on trading my 10 in, but if you're looking for a small and portable rig for POTA, this might fit the bill a little bit better, especially since it comes with the speaker.
Yeah, and a lot of people ask, well, should I go with the 10 over this? No, if the 10's got roofing filters, the 10 is designed to be a bass that really pulls in those weak signals. But if you're going to be someone who wants to get out and about, and take a rig with you and have good high quality SDR, then by all means, this is going to be that one for you. The range on it, the specs on it, I'll be honest with you, are absolutely amazing. If for people who aren't aware of it, it came in number 4 on the Sherwood Report list. So basically, number 1 is the FTDX 101 series. Mm-hmm. The number three spot is the FTDX 10, and the number 4 spot now is the FT710.
Good. Yeah, I hadn't looked to see if he'd even put that on there yet.
Yeah, last Sunday he posted it on there. So this new RHF radios are in the top 5.
Yeah, nice. Very cool. Okay. All right. So we're gonna there it is right there. So people are asking for a link to your channel, so I'm gonna drop a link to Communications and Cigars in there. So that's John's channel, and you usually release videos or live streams on Mondays.
Yep, we try to do it on Mondays. We've been a little bit busy, obviously, with anything, but the fall time's coming up, so things are going to hopefully knock on wood slow down, and we got some interesting episodes coming on pretty quick here too. So I think people are going to do that. So we'll enjoy it.
Good, good. Well, thanks for your time today, John.
Yeah, no problem.
And anybody who's got further questions, feel free to comment on this video. Or go hit up John's channel at Communications and Cigars that I just dropped in there. So $73 to all. Everyone have a good afternoon.